Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Today, we're going to continue talking about My Sister's Keeper. A couple of days ago, we summarized the story for you. Last time, we talked about the writer. Well, today, we're actually going to talk about what this book means, the different themes and ideas in this book, mm-hmm. and why you might consider reading this book.
That's right. Our first program, we really just focused on the plot. The plot is the story. So we told you what the story was like. But that's not really why a writer writes her novels. Typically, writers have a message they want to get across to people. They want to convey that message. They want to teach people something. Well, this writer, Jodi Picoult, has different themes in her book that she feels are important, and she wants people to think about them deeply. So we're going to talk about what some of those themes are and how you might feel about them and how we feel about them. See if you think they're as controversial as some people do. First, though, we're going to start by reading through our whole lesson. My Sister's Keeper has several intricate themes, and understanding those themes requires readers to question their own morality. In a general sense, the book seems to suggest that the line between right and wrong is thin and often blurry. At first, readers will probably feel that the correct course of action for Anna is to donate her kidney to Kate, since they are siblings. Upon reflection, however, readers will begin to better understand Anna's contradictory feelings about living solely to donate her body parts to Kate. Despite being related by blood, she isn't legally obligated to go through so many painful procedures. In addition, by donating her organs, Anna could cause herself serious health problems. Anna's dilemma leads readers to wonder whether it is moral to raise a child as a future organ donor. Picoult also reflects on the supportive relationships between sisters. Anna serves as a donor to Kate, which means they are much more intimate than any other pair of sisters. Anna even remarks that she and Kate are like Siamese twins, a sentiment that reveals how inseparable they are. However, even with such an intense bond, Anna can't help questioning the meaning of her existence, saying, "They, my parents, don't really pay attention to me, except when they need my blood or something. I wouldn't be alive if it wasn't for Kate being sick." Anna hopes to keep her sister alive, but she also wants the freedom to live her own life as a full human being. Sadly, all the conflicts only get resolved through a tragic car accident.
Okay, let's talk about the themes or ideas in this book, My Sister's Keeper. It has several intricate themes. Now, intricate here means very, very complicated, doing all sorts of things at the same time. If you look at the wiring inside various electronic devices, you'll see that, ooh, there's some intricate wiring in there. I would have no idea how to fix this thing, or intricate wiring or intricate piping in your house for all the water pipes and stuff like that. So indeed, it's very complicated or detailed, an intricate network of highways in a different country, for example.
Or maybe you have some sort of costume or beautiful dress that has intricate patterns on it. It's just a lot of parts, complicated, complex, just like Tom said. Well, if you want to understand those themes, you've really got to question your own morality. Morality is a non-count noun that means your belief about what you think is good behavior, what is right, what is correct, and what is bad or wrong behavior. What you think is right, not against the law, but what you think is morally right, good or evil. So in a good sense or in a general sense, the book seems to suggest that the line between right and wrong is thin. It's not very easy to decide what is right and what is wrong. And that thin line we're talking about is often blurry. If something's blurry, it means you can't see it clearly. And if you're a really bad photographer like I am, I suck, I'm terrible at it, My photos are often blurry, meaning you can't see things very clearly on my photos.
But in any case here, blur is, blur or blurry, that's the adjective from the verb to blur, which means it makes something unclear, not distinct. For example, if you're crying, it might blur your vision, for example. Or as you get older, your vision might get more blurry if you have like a cataracts or something, those white things that grow inside your eyes, your vision might become blurry. You can't see very clearly. So yes, there's no really firm black line between right and wrong. The line is kind of blurry. We really don't know where something good begins and something bad ends.
Mm-hmm. Well, at first, as you're reading the book, you might feel that the correct course of action or the correct thing for Anna to do is to donate her kidney to Kate. Why? Well, they're siblings. If you're a sibling with someone, it means you're a brother or sister to them. A sibling can be a brother or a sister, both. It's kind of a formal word for brothers and sisters.
We've got Kate and Anna, their sisters or siblings, and upon reflection, however, readers will begin to better understand Anna's contradictory feelings about living solely to donate her body parts to Kate, okay? So if you really think about it, if you reflect on this, you might start to understand Anna's, her position, her contradictory feelings.
Yeah.
Contradictory is from the verb to contradict, which means that things kind of don't make sense. They kind of cancel each other out. To contradict means like somebody says one thing, but then somebody else says the complete opposite. They've contradicted each other.
I could say, I love summers in Taiwan. And then I could say to Tom, I hate the heat in the summer here. And he'd say, well, you just contradicted yourself. You said two opposite things that disagree with each other. So she has feelings inside her that probably kind of say, oh, I want to help Kate, but at the same time she might feel, I don't want to. So they kind of disagree inside herself. Those are tough feelings to have when you can't figure out yourself what you want to do. She doesn't know if she really wants to live solely just to be an organ donor. Solely here just means just or only. To only live to donate her body parts to Kate. It sounds kind of terrible when you put it like that, doesn't it?
It does sound terrible. I suppose she's thinking, on one hand, I want to be a good sister and do what I can to help my sister. But on the other hand, hey, I'm not here just to be some kind of parts supplier for my sister so she can live and I get sick. So, yeah, she's kind of having some contradictory feelings here, some conflicts going on inside her. And despite being related by blood, or even though they are related by blood, she isn't legally obligated to go through so many painful procedures. To be obligated to do something means you have to. You have no choice. We have lots of obligations in life, lots of responsibilities. If we don't fulfill them, we're going to have to face the awful consequences. So she says, well, I don't have to do this according to the law. If I refuse, they can't throw me in jail. I don't have to do this if I don't want to.
You can be legally obligated, which means the law requires you to do something. Or maybe you're obligated because it's the right thing to do. Parents are obligated to take care of their children. It's the right thing to do. Well, she doesn't legally have to give parts of her body to Kate. It won't be against the law. She won't be arrested if she doesn't do it, but she kind of feels obligated to do it because it's the right thing to do because she's helping her sister. You see, it's kind of hard. Well, she has to go through a lot of painful procedures in order to help her sister. We talked about how painful a bone marrow extraction is. If you're a bone marrow donor, it's very, very painful. A procedure is a word we use to talk about some sort of medical treatment or operation. Tom had to go through a procedure last month to remove something from his forehead that he had to go through. So it's kind of a little bit of an operation in the office, the doctor's office. So that's a procedure. Well, bone marrow transplants are a medical procedure. Chemotherapy treatments are also a medical procedure.
Right, and in addition to this, by donating her organs, Anna could cause herself serious health problems. So pain is not the only problem here. If she donates her organs, she might get sick herself later. She might have serious health problems. Organs are things inside your body that perform different functions. If you don't have your organs, you're probably going to have a terrible time existing. Kidneys, your pancreas, your heart, your liver, your lungs.
Your lungs. Yeah.
Even I think your skin is considered an organ.
It is.
Your brain too. Uh-huh. These are all organs inside of your body.
Well, of course you need these things. We all have two kidneys to begin with. You can live on just one kidney. But if you give away your second kidney and your first kidney has problems, you're one donla. So she has to consider the future, right? Now, Anna's dilemma leads readers to wonder whether it is moral or right to raise a child as just an organ donor. Yeah, it's kind of an interesting question. A dilemma is a situation in which you have to make a difficult choice. And it's very tough, and you just don't know which way to go. That's a dilemma.
You might face a dilemma if you're doing a job that you really hate. You might think, I'd like to quit my job, but, boy, it's in my field. I need this experience. If I quit, I'll never be able to work in my field again. But I still just hate this job. Mm. So you have this big dilemma. It's a very, very difficult situation in which a decision has to be made. So this is Anna's dilemma. Should I help my sister? Or should I protect myself? And this leads readers to wonder whether it is moral to raise a child as a future organ donor. Is that the right thing to do? Let's have a child because we just need her for her organs for our other daughter who is six. They might think, hey, that's not the right thing to do. Other people might think, yes, that's the only thing you could do. Otherwise, the kid's going to die.
To say you're going to raise a child means you take care of them. You teach them as they get older. You protect them, you take care of all their needs, you bring up that child. Another verb is to rear a child. We use the verb to raise a child much more than England does, but just, you know, parents raise children. So this is a really, really interesting question, I have to say. We're going to talk more about some of the themes in this book, but first, guys, we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 我们今天来看看这本小说所要传达的主题是什么。在第一句里面提到 My sister's keeper has several intricate themes and understanding those themes requires readers to question their own morality. 这本小说其实有很多错综复杂的主题。我们用 intricate 这个形容词来代表呢是复杂难解的。而如果你想要 understanding those themes, 了解这些主题呢则需要你来检视自身的道德观。在英文里面道德观或者是道德的规范都可以说 morality。我们常常听到有一些人会对传统道德做一些反叛你就可以说 the revolt against traditional morality。第二句提到In a general sense, the book seems to suggest that the line between right and wrong is thin and often blurry. 在这里的 suggest 是解释成为暗示、暗指的意思。这本书呢，其实它想要表达的是对跟错中间的那条线其实是非常的薄弱，而且是模糊的。接着在中间提到Upon reflection, however, readers will begin to better understand Anna's contradictory feelings about living solely to donate her body parts to Kate. 其实呢，你可能会觉得 Anna 就是应该要把肾脏捐给 Kate 才对。可是 upon reflection, 仔细思考过后，你又会开始去思考Anna 她那种矛盾的情感，难道她活着只是为了把身体的某些部分捐给姐姐 Kate 吗？在这里的 contradictory 当作形容词解释成为矛盾的、对立的。如果是跟什么东西是互相矛盾的，我们可以说 be contradictory to， 搭配介系词 to 咯。 这一段的最后一句提到 Anna's dilemma leads readers to wonder whether it is moral to raise a child as a future organ donor. 其实呢 Anna 的困境就会让我们去思考，难道养育一个孩子就只为了在他的未来可以成为器官的捐赠者吗？这样做是符合道德的吗？在这里用了形容词 whether it is moral to do this kind of thing. Dilemma 在这里当作名词，解释成为困境跟窘境。我们在面对困境跟窘境，我们英文就可以说 face a dilemma。如果你处在怎么样的困境当中，你可以搭配 be in a dilemma over something. 举例来说， I'm in a dilemma over whether to tell her the truth or not. 我进退两难，不知该跟她说实话与否。
We're going to take a short break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Okay, let's continue with our lesson again. We're talking about some of the themes in our featured novel, My Sister's Keeper, Anna and Kate. They're the sisters. Kate is the one who's sick, and Anna is the one who was conceived to save her life. And, of course, you might think, hey, is that moral to have a kid in order to save the life of another kid?
Yeah.
You think about that question and discuss it amongst yourselves.
It's very similar to this idea of cloning people, you know?
Yeah.
So I think we're going to see more of thesedilemmas, these questions about morality in the future with our science and the way we're progressing so fast.
Well, hopefully they'll be able to just clone those organs by themselves and not the whole person.
Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Or just fix them or just stop disease altogether. But in any case here, let's continue with the second part of our lesson today. Again, the author...Jodi Picoult also reflects on the supportive relationships between sisters. In general here, relationships between sisters, how they're able to support themselves. So if you have a sister, you could probably relate to this. Would you do something like this for your sister or would you not?
Oh, I totally would for my sisters. If you're supportive, you give a lot of help to someone, you encourage them, you're there for them when they need help.Anna, here it says, serves as a donor to Kate. We're going to talk more about how that changes their relationship. They're not just average sisters at all. To reflect on something means you think very deeply about it. It's a question that requires a lot of serious thinking. So she's reflecting on the supportive relationships between sisters by writing about it.And giving us a way to think about it ourselves. To serve as something means you're used as something or you're seen in a particular way. She serves as a donor. So she is a donor to Kate, which means they are much more intimate than any other pair of sisters. If you're intimate with someone, it means you have a very, very close relationship. It could also mean personal and private.It could also mean very warm and friendly. So if you have an intimate friend, you're probably pretty tight. You probably share secrets with them.
It's interesting, as an example, my wife is quite intimate with her younger sister, but not so much with her older sister. She says every time her older sister calls, she just doesn't want to answer the phone and talk to her. But it's the opposite with her younger sister here.
Yeah.
So intimate here just means you're close.You are familiar with each other. You know each other quite well. It could also, when you're talking about boys and girls, mean that you're having a romantic relationship with each other. Are you just friends or are you intimate? You could ask somebody if you can ask a personal question like that. But here, these sisters are very intimate with each other because, hey, one of them has the other one's organs in her body. What could be more intimate than that?
Not yet. But she does have her bone marrow, right? Because Anna...gave her bone marrow to Kate. So they're very unusual. They're closer than any other pair of sisters would be normally. Anna even remarks or says that she and Kate are like Siamese twins. Siamese twins. This is a term we use to talk about two people who are born and their bodies are joined together. They're not separate. And sometimes they have to have, sometimes it's not possible to separate them. If their brains are attached, it's sometimes hard to separate those.
That'd be hard, yeah.
Siamese twins is considered sometimes to be offensive, so be careful when you use that term. Instead, you might use the term conjoined twins. Conjoined means two people together. Their bodies are actually one in some places.
Kind of interesting. Why would we say Siamese twins? Siam is the old name for Thailand. We've got Siamese twins or conjoined twins all over the world. It's because I think there was a case of two or a set of Siamese twins there back in the 1800s, so they probably made this term popular.
And I think they were in a circus. People went to look at them. They were so unusual. But they were from
like
Thailand. Yeah, like a freak show. And that's where the term came from.
Exactly. So they are like Siamese twins. They aren't. But this is a sentiment that reveals how inseparable they are. Sentiment here just means a kind of feeling in which you feel about something.
It can also mean attitude or opinion. And I think here it means more like an attitude and or opinion, right?
Yes, indeed. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Sentiment, an idea or an attitude, opinion. And inseparable means that they cannot be separate, or at least it's very difficult for them to be separate from each other. They are inseparable. They are always together.
For example, when I was growing up, one of my younger brothers had a friend, and he and his friend were inseparable. They were always together. They spent so much time together that I kind of felt like we had this extra brother living in our house all the time. But they've turned out to be really great supportive friends for each other. So, hey, if you have a great friend, you're lucky.
Right, and however, even with such an intense bond, Anna can't help questioning the meaning of her existence, saying to herself, my parents, don't really pay attention to me except when they need my blood or something. And she goes on to say some other things here, but let's say she questions the meaning of her existence. She can't help questioning this. If you can't help doing something, that means it's very difficult for you to stop doing this. You have to do it. You cannot resist. Usually it's something that you're probably supposed to exist doing, but I can't help it. I started laughing when he told the joke. It was during a time in the funeral when we were all supposed to be quiet and stuff like that, but I just couldn't help it. I just started laughing, and I got kicked out of the funeral.
That sounds like you, Tom. Now, if you question the meaning of your existence, it means you're asking yourself, why am I here on this earth? What does it mean? What's the purpose for me being here? She felt sometimes that she was just there for Kate, to make sure Kate stayed alive. Anna hopes to keep her sister alive, of course. But she also wants the freedom to live her own life as a full human being, so that she just makes choices based on what she wants and what she wants for her life rather than just what her sister needs from her at the moment.
Exactly. And she goes on to say, "If I wouldn't be alive if it wasn't for Kate being sick." And Anna hopes to keep her sister alive on one hand, but she also wants the freedom to live her own life as a full human being who doesn't have to go to the hospital every other month and help her sister out with some kind of procedure or something like that. No, I'm an actual free-thinking being. I'm not a slave to my sister. Even though I love her very much, still I have my own life. So she kind of goes back and forth between these things. And you could imagine if you were in this kind of situation, it would be very difficult for you.
Well, sadly, all these conflicts get resolved through a tragic car accident. A conflict is countable, so you can say conflicts, of course. A conflict between people is just a strong disagreement. Sometimes it results in an argument if there's a lot of conflict. And if you resolve something, you find an answer or a solution to something. You settle it. You settle the conflict. You solve the problem so that everything is better. And sadly, the conflict gets resolved when Anna is in a tragic car accident and passes away.
Oh, that's terrible
here.
So that's how it gets resolved. To resolve something means to come up with a solution for something.
Mm-hmm.
and make a problem so that it isn't a problem anymore. So, of course, if you're having a conflict with somebody in the office, maybe somebody will help you resolve that conflict so that you and the other person will become great friends after that. Probably not, but at least you'll be able to work together and not hate each other so much.
That's good advice. Okay, everybody, it's time for our Chinese teacher.
下一段的第一句提到, P-code also reflects on the supportive relationships between sisters. 其实作者呢也在思考着姐妹间相互扶持的关系。 Reflect 其实就是有仔细思考的意思。我们前面看到用 upon 或者是 on 搭配名词形态的 reflection 就解释成为仔细思考之后。 所以作者也在思考姐妹之间的关系。在中间提到 Anna even remarks that she and Kate are like Siamese twins, a sentiment that reveals how inseparable they are. 其实呢,她自己 Anna 也曾经想过认为她跟Kate就好像是连体婴一般。 在这里我们讲 Siamese twins 指的就是连体婴的意思，而这种感情就透露出他们是多么的密不可分。Sentiment 解释成为心情跟感受，可以用单数的名词，有时候也不可数，像是爱国的情操，你就可以说 patriotic sentiment。它中间说到了 they my parents。 Don't really pay attention to me, except when they need my blood or something. I wouldn't be alive if it wasn't for Kate being sick. 他表示，他们也就指他的父亲跟母亲，从来没有真正的关心过他，除了是需要他的血液或者是身体其他部分的时候才会想到他的存在。而要不是因为Kate生病，也不会有Anna的存在。 最后一句提到, Sadly, all the conflicts only get resolved through a tragic car accident. 很令人悲伤的是, 所有的矛盾冲突最后居然是借着一场不幸的车祸来化解解决。 在这里的resolve当作动词, 就有解决问题跟争端的意思。
That's it for today's program. We'd like to thank all of you for listening, and we'd like to thank all of the people who make this magazine and this program possible. There are too many people to thank, so make sure you join us again for this very wonderful program that we're all proud to be part of. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.